special Tuesday edition of the Indies Podcast, where we are talking indie comics with the team of Seven Robots. Seven Robots is Miguel Guerra and Susie Diaz. They are pretty awesome. They have a bunch of books out. The ones that I was familiar with before actually getting to talk to them was a book called Super Corporate Heroes, where it's a really great take on, you know, capitalism in business and, you know, a satirical look of what superheroes would be like in today's world, because, you know, nobody's really that altruistic. And then the other thing we talk about is their anthology series called Earth Dream, where it's put out once a year. The second one just came out, and they highlight some of the best indie creators, artists and writers from around the country. So that's definitely worth checking out. You know, you can find them at sevenrobots.com, and, you know, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. We have links in the show notes, and, you know, I'll update you with everything at the end of the show. But right now, here's Johnny and I's talk with the team at Seven Robots.
Miguel's illustrations have been in different places, but it's always odd places. It's not like Marvel, DC, or, you know, somewhere big. It's always smaller or medium-sized places. So we were, like, we had stories. We didn't know, I don't honestly think that a bigger publisher would take Super Corporate Heroes, because it makes fun of everything. It makes fun of superheroes. It makes fun of authority. It makes fun of
corporate culture.
Yeah, it makes fun of the idea that people would have all these superpowers and would do everything for free. They would be like sports stars and, right, and Hollywood stars and everything all mashed together, so they could do whatever the heck they want.
Yeah, like, I mean, like the American Icon character, yeah, that you guys have. Yeah. Not only did he steal someone else's copyrighted or whatever intellectual property, which happens all the time, but then, you know, he's got paternity suits, rape allegations, you know, whatever, you name it, he did it. And then, like, you have the older American Icon running around working a construction job for somebody else, where he could totally just go out on his own and make money doing it. But, you know, he's still like the salt of the earth, like, you know, Tom Brokaw's Greatest Generation type of a character.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, that was purely intentional too, because we wanted to play with that generational thing. Like, our, what we view as famous and great today, unfortunately, these sports stars, versus what, at least in legend, what we think back then was, you know, the salt of the earth. So yeah. That's good that came across.
Mm-hmm, that's great.
It's great to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So where did the Elvis costume come from?
Elvis. Purely. Well. I was just like,
where else?
Well, it was purely like, if you think about it, what are the two American icons? Elvis and Superman. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was just like,
I hadn't thought of that. That's good.
You know, around the world, if you, oh, Elvis and Superman, it's, you know, it, you can't really, you could separate them, but to me it was like, okay, it's the American Icon.
It goes together like peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Well, yeah, they both wore capes at one time or another.
Exactly. Yeah. I
also liked your Spider-Man character, mainly because the webbing came out of his butt. And then, like, the corporate company had a problem with that, like, because it freaked people out. And kind of near the end, not to like spoil too much, but like, he's kind of figured out a way to, like, you know, do the, like, from his wrists, and he's complained about his back hurting.
It was his elbows.
Okay.
Marvel yelling at him or something.
And then he gets the webbing on someone, and he's like, wait, doesn't this come from your butt? Ooh, gross, I'm gonna throw up. And then it's like, it's hilarious. So
yeah, just for sitting around thinking, wait a second. You know, spiders webbing webs do not come out.
Doesn't that thought cross everyone's mind?
Yeah.
We've actually had the conversation about, like, it should come out of his butt. Like, you know,
well, that's
it wouldn't be very nice.
Yeah.
We needed an invention, right? I thought
cartridges.
That was smart.
Yeah. So
that totally made sense. But when Rami did that, I was like, oh no, that's not good.
Yeah. Well,
just putting paper what everyone thinks anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's great. And then you did the covers, Miguel, for both anthologies, correct?
Yeah.
The second one with the robot head and everything is awesome. Is that available to buy somewhere, just as a print?
Thank you. Oh, that's a good idea. Yes.
So,
Send me the high res. You can print it.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I guess like just kind of getting to know more like about you guys and just like your history with comics. Miguel, I'm just going to start with you. Who's your favorite like mainstream character to draw?
I haven't drawn mainstream characters in a long time.
Well, you're doing some of our requests one.
But yeah, some of requests. I'd probably be Spider-Man or Batman.
Yeah?
Yeah, probably lean more towards Spider-Man. I mean, I do like Batman, but Batman, you know, I mean, he's
easier.
He's easier. Yes. Spider-Man, you have to be very comfortable with the body movement where you have him like a human rubber band. Mm-hmm. So he can be a lot of fun. But cool. Yeah, you have to say same would be that.
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic. No, not that much. No.
Or
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine. Yeah.
Wolverine. All right. Well, it was great talking to you guys. We're going to go.
Is it because of the Wolverine?
Yeah. Wolverine's my least favorite character. So
he's a Wolverine hater.
Oh, is he? Oh.
He likes drawing the blades.
Yeah. I can see how it's fun to draw. Well,
that's a question. Who is your favorite character? Like, do you have a favorite comic book character?
Yeah, but it would be Ogami Ito.
Yeah.
From Loma Funcab.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the manga. That's my favorite character. I think that was just 30 some volumes I read in a weekend. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't put that
down.
Like, it was an amazing story. Yeah. So I would say Ogami Ito, maybe followed by Corto Maltese, which is Hugo Pratt. It's my other favorite. So, yeah.
We actually have a couple questions. There's people watching in. They wanted to know, one, what's your work schedule like when you're making comics? And then the second one, does Seven Robots allow you guys to not have a day job? I mean, is Seven Robots your day job?
No, I wish it was. It is not. It's extra. We do it on our own time outside of regular jobs.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately not. But, work schedule is anytime I have time.
Yeah.
And that's...
Do you guys do conventions and like hit like the what? Are you in South Carolina or?
We'll wait and see if you come back in.
Oh, did they lose me?
I don't know. Did you guys lose him?
Should I go out and in again?
Hold on, no, guys. Hello.
Okay.
Oh,
you're there.
Yeah, okay, there. Okay, weird.
Do we do conventions? We haven't done conventions in a while.
We did. We just had a bit of a move and we haven't hit any this year, but we should pick up again.
Yeah, it's been.
But the bigger conventions are a little harder to do because you have to think that you're going to make a lot of dough to pay everything back for the table and the travel and hotels and everything, but smaller ones are terrific.
Yeah. What part of the country are you guys in?
We're out of country.
We're
in New York for ages, and we're actually in Europe right now, which is probably why you're getting a bad signal.
Got it. Yeah. Europe and their shoddy internet. So just Miguel, just real quick, Susie, I have a bunch of questions for you, so don't think I'm going to ignore you. Where did you learn to draw, and then when did you realize you wanted to be a professional artist?
Since I was a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this, I had lost contact with him, but it was my brother's friend who's 10 years or 12 years older than me. When I lived in Spain as a child, he used to draw Conan the Barbarian, like John Buscema. He used to get this pen, he would sit there and draw. For me, it was just magical. I was about seven.
Yeah.
And you know, I used to get the comic books from the bases and stuff, Spider-Man and stuff. And I always said, I'm a military brat. So I always said when I moved, if I got a chance to move back stateside, that I would pursue it. And yeah, I've just been drawing since I was a child. It's just something that's just been part of me. Which to some of my parents liking. But yeah, no, it's been something part of me.
Cool. Very cool. And then what brought you guys together as Seven Robots besides, you know, cause you guys are married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, besides being married, like what was that conversation like when you sit down and be like, hey, we're going to start a small press?
don't remember. Stuff with us just sort of happens, and it's like, how did that even happen? I think it just the stories in the comics drove the rest.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like let's make a company and then we'll do something. We already had started doing the comic, and then we thought, well, we need a label for it, a press, mm-hmm. and then after a couple, like, we incorporated and everything, we went down that route. So it sort of, the comics drove the rest.
Okay, cool. And so far, you guys have done 4 stories of your own. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, actually, we have a few. Okay.
Yeah, Alric Samrail.
Alric Samrail, Volume 1 and 2, Earth Dream.
I like the way we have to count, you know.
That's and then we have another one that's still in production that's explaining economics called Crash Boom Pop. We're working with an economist, Steve Keen. So, yeah, that's...
It's a book to explain economics, but as a comic book, so normal people like us can understand it.
Yeah.
But it's taking a little while to simplify everything.
Yeah.
But it's trying to explain kind of the crash of 08, this crap austerity stuff that they've been doing since then, how, you know, they're not really helping the economy. And so it's sort of like from the perspective of not what you hear on the news, but what's really going on and why it's going on.
Yeah.
But as a comic book. So it really has to be written simply.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah. It's a neat project. We're just waiting on... We're not doing the script on that one, luckily.
Yeah.
But... we're waiting.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I had wanted to have SuperCorp out this year, mm-hmm. but that got pushed back because that project sort of took precedence over the other. It's like,
we had a Kickstarter for that went well.
Yeah.
And there's a crypto sort of Kickstarter version called Start Join, and that went well. So luckily, we do have the money to print it once it all gets done, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. That must feel good too, like knowing that once you're done, it's
ready. Haven't had the courage, I was going to say balls, to do a Kickstarter for our own stuff yet, but a lot of our friends have, so we're sort of getting a little warmed up to it.
Thinking about it.
But we did it for, like, when it's someone else involved, we're do it, but when it's us, we're a little more timid.
That's how it always is. Like, you give other people the best advice, but you never follow your own advice.
And I'm like, I'll do it. No problem. What do you need? I'll do it for you. And then when it's yours, like, I don't know if anyone buy it. I don't know.
Yeah. So, Susie, how did you get into comics?
Through Miguel.
Okay.
I've always liked writing. And then when I met him, he was like, well, why don't you try it as a script? And it just worked out really well. Like, we usually work on our stories together, mm-hmm. and we ad lib off of each other really well. And then I'll end up writing it all into a script, and he'll do all the breakdowns, and we'll fix up everything, and it works up pretty well.
Yeah, it's good because, you know,
I don't know. So far, we've always been on the same track, and we have the same sense of humor. So it's been
good. After 5 books, that's pretty good. It's been like
was there like a book or a story in particular that you're like, yes, I'm all in with this medium?
I did. Lone Wolf and Cub really blew me away when I did read that. I was like, because it's like a fantastic book. I think that threw me into it. I read a lot of manga at first, and then for comic books, I read a lot of the anthologies you can get, the trades of the original Spider-Man, the original Superman. I love those. They're fantastic. Like, when you get to see the immense word bubbles that never end. And so I've read all of the original storylines. I haven't followed through the 80s, 90s. I haven't followed all the X-Men and all the alternate universes stuff. And I heard it all through secondhand.
That's what Wikipedia is for.
Yeah, no.
Especially the 90s.
Yeah, just forget the 90s. It never happened in comics.
It happened.
Nobody drew feet well. Bodies were completely disproportioned. And everyone had a collar. So that's the 90s in a nutshell.
That's the Rob Liefeld 90s.
Absolutely.
Had 4 or 5 elbows. I remember once we were looking at a Liefeld and drawing, I was like, wait a second, that guy has 2 elbows. It was like really weird. It was like 1, 2, it was like, you know.
So how did you guys, like, I mean, obviously, like, Super Corporate Heroes has, like, its very own, like, style. And some of your other books have different style. How do you decide, like, what the look and feel is going to be for a book? Is it based on the tone of the script, or do you start with the design and then start writing from there?
Yeah. I decided a long time ago that I would, whatever the story is, the idea that I get, the first thing that comes to mind is the style that I'll go with. For example, you will notice in volume two, a distinct, clear style difference, mm-hmm. because we're going into another part where really ultimately...
It's like a motorcycle outside our window. Right down.
Yeah. Ultimately, Supercorp is really about the villain. And it was something that we came to discussing it. We were trying to find a main character to center it around. And anyway, so the style is usually dictated by the story.
Yeah, and he picks it like he... I don't, have I ever added to anything? I don't think so.
No.
Usually the style is all his.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever best represents the story, mm-hmm. like.
And he's good about leaving the script. Once we worked out what the plot lines and what the story is going to be, he lets me run with the script.
Oh, cool. That was my next question, actually.
So I actually have a question.
Oh, sure.
Miguel, like there's gotta be artists out there that have inspired you. Are there a few that you could name off the top of your head or?
Oh yeah. Mobius, Hugo Pratt. I know
you said Mobius. I already love you.
Yeah, Mobius. Wow. Ditko, mm-hmm. Mila Manera, Bashima, Kirby, Enki Bial,
Jack Kirby. I don't know why sometimes he's underappreciated. That guy's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it,
he's the man.
He's the man. I mean, when you look at it on surface wise, you're like, wow, you know. It looks a little wonky, but then you really actually pay attention. You're like, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The composition, the movement. It's, yeah. Will Eisner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Will. Yeah. The greats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read a lot of his stuff for writing, too.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He's on a different level, though, you know. Yeah. He's on a different plane.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite writers, Susie, or?
I'd say I like Will Eisner. I like the kind of original comic sort of quirky style with that funny kind of Stan Lee thing that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those kind of things. I like anything that's comedy anyways, even if it's, yesterday I was supposed to be doing one thing. I ended up watching 5 episodes of Impractical Jokers. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know how that happened. You know when something's just on, you're like, okay, one more. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta stop.
I just did that with Fargo.
There's a lot I'm behind on, and that's why I do this turbo watching.
Yeah, it was like 10 episodes, 3 days. It's like, why did I do that? So
I don't know. I do the same thing. Yeah. I don't know. It just happened.
Yeah, now we're watching Deadbeat.
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
Deadbeat,
it's a new
yeah.
one. It's ridiculous. He's a medium.
Yeah, that's Tyler Labine. I haven't seen the second season yet, but the first season's hilarious.
Yeah, second season it gets a little weird, like funnier, weirder.
Yeah, it's really.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. I'm behind. I'm watching Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah, Johnny's just now watching Avatar.
That's okay.
I've been badgering him literally for years to check that out. So what's next? I mean, you guys have Super Corporate coming out in 2016. I'm assuming there's going to be another Earth Dream 2016 Volume 3. Is there a way for people to get in touch with you guys to like get their work in there, or you know, kind of throw their name into the hat?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, our website is 7robots.com.
Yeah.
So the number
7. The number 7. 7robots.com. We're on Twitter, 7robotsinc. Like anything at all. Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's Miguel Guerra on Facebook. Is that
yeah, Miguel Guerra on Facebook.
And I'm actually Ola Susie, because Susie Diaz was taken.
Or you can get a hold of us at the 7 Robots page on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll put links like in the little story for the blog for everything for people. So I mean, like what's next though? Like where are you guys looking to take this? Are you looking to like start publishing other people's books as well outside of the anthology? Or
that's not at this point, because I think that's a big step. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a big responsibility, and you need sort of the time and care to actually go over something and to know what you want to publish.
Yeah.
So we want like Supercorp is going to be about 4 issues, possibly 5 volumes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we want to get that done. So next year we should be coming out with volume 2 of Supercorp, as well as this economics graphic novel.
Yeah, the Crashing Top.
Yeah.
So those are 2 for next year. And then the year after we want to do Wolf Boy. Like, we have an all ages one that's really silly, slapsticky. He goes around, it's a boy who thinks he's a wolf, and he hangs around with the Monkey King, like from the Chinese legends.
Okay.
Nice. And they meet an Amazon princess.
Yeah, they...
And so we have like a comic available now to set it up, the story. And we have the, like, I have the whole script written, but it's, you know, there's only so much you can draw.
Right.
I have lots of stories. I'm just waiting for him to knock them out. Yeah.
And I have a few, quite a few of my own.
Yeah. Great.
There's,
we need a few of him.
There's so not enough. There's not enough all ages books. So at least good ones. So the more that you guys can do is awesome. Cause I have an 8-year-old and she loves comics. You know, and this one here, he'll bring books to her from all the conventions he goes to. I try and find stuff for her to read. So I'm always excited when I hear someone working on an all ages book.
And I'll buy all ages books because they're fun.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted. Something lighthearted, something, because Supercorp is very, I wouldn't say emotionally taxing, but it is draining because it's very dark, right? So you need something very lively and less cynical.
It's dark humor.
It's dark humor. But you need something to liven yourself up as an artist.
Yeah.
To sort of get away from, because or else, you know, it's seeing everything from a certain point of view too much. Mm-hmm. And it's good too for the artist, for the creators. Well.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a whole bunch of different things to work on. It makes everything else you do better, because you're not just focused and myopic on the one thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. So. Yeah, we have 2 kids too, so they're good testers. Yeah. They're still little, but they're okay. It's like, okay, keep drawing and keep coloring. You know, we're gonna need extra help there. Kindergarten class, you know,
they'll be earning their lunch, their allowance, inking
when they get
or coloring.
Yeah.
So yeah,
they'll pay you.
You have little tables set up. They'll each be at a table with a little lamp, just drawn away, and you'll walk by and slap their wrist with a ruler. You're outside the lines. I like it. And you're in Europe, so that's okay. You don't have to worry about those pesky, child services.
It depends on which country in Europe. no, I'm serious. It depends. I've been reading about that. It depends on which country you are in Europe. They're particular about that. Some of the Nordic countries, you can get in trouble for that. Yeah.
So avoid the Nordic countries if you want your kids to be free labor. Got it. Thank you, Miguel. So, that's really the questions we had. Did you have anything else?
I have one off the subject question. Who's the Lando Calrissian fan? Right behind you is Lando Calrissian.
I saw that and I thought
that's awesome.
So ridiculous and awesome.
He's awesome. It's like when you see it, you have to get it, because they usually come and go really quick.
Yeah, Lando's not a very common action. Well, I guess.
Did your dad get you one? I don't remember.
No, he didn't.
He wanted one when he was little, and I just always liked him. Yeah.
Lando. So, yep.
Yeah.
Did you guys get to? Do you read many comics, or do you pick up much stuff? Or
I've been picking up, now that I'm in Europe. I've been picking up all the Mobius books.
Oh yeah.
All the Hugo Pratt. So because, you know, those take a while to get to stateside.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm here. You know, why am I going to worry about the stuff going on stateside? This is the stuff I want now, because I
when
can't
we go
get it
back,
now.
We'll
load up on that.
It's like one of those things where since you have the availability of that stuff, it's easier to get. Why not pick it up? I mean, you're making me a little jealous on that one, actually.
Well, you know.
Well, it's awesome. One of those things where Mobius is awesome. I mean, you know, it's one of the reasons to watch The Fifth Element. Because most of the design work was Mobius, and I think it's just beautiful. I mean, just a beautiful artist. So I totally am there with you on that one.
It's sad to hear that he passed away not that long ago. I wish I would have gotten to meet him.
One convention I'd love to go to in France. They have I'd love to go to Angouleme. He used to go there, and a lot of Japanese and French and Italian artists go to Angouleme in France. They have it every year. It's not, I've never gone, but I've read about it. And he used to go and he used to do like live drawings and give lessons and stuff. I was like, oh my God, I have to go there. But you know, he's not around anymore, but
yeah,
I'd still like to go.
Yeah. It's the same, like with Jack Kirby. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, that guy was around forever. And I know, like when I was a kid, I loved his New God stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I wasn't a big Marvel fan as a kid, but New Gods, it was like just awesome stuff. And for a guy to be able to do it twice in his lifetime, create two different universes like that. Yeah. It's just, you know, makes him like one of the gods of comics pretty much.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Multiple universes.
Him and Stan Lee are like the center of the Mount Rushmore.
Oh yeah, comics, definitely. So.
Except when you read them, all them Jack seem nicer.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what was that book you read, the Tomorrow Man?
What's it?
The Men of Tomorrow. It was really, it was all about the,
I don't remember the title now.
It's over in our bookshelf.
Yeah.
It's about the whole about the comic book industry in New York during that time and the mob ties and all this sort of crazy stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah,
there's a lot of legends about that stuff for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, after living in New York, you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can see how.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look at it now, the super rich always have to dip into shady ways to get that rich, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, New York does that too.
What part of New York were you guys in?
We were in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I worked in Manhattan and we lived in Brooklyn.
That's cool. I lived in Brooklyn after college for a little bit, so in Park Slope.
We were on the other side of the park,
yeah.
Where it wasn't quite so nice near Crown Heights.
Yeah, we were. I was right on Carroll that fed right into Prospect. So
my kids were born there.
Yeah, I took it. What it was, Grand Army Plaza stop.
There you go.
Yes, Grand Army. Yeah,
it was great. It was the number three, and we're getting like way off track.
Yeah, you're speaking another language.
It was the number three. It was great. It was the number three express.
Number three express.
And. It was like from, and I worked in Midtown, and like door to desk commute was 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Mine would take an hour sometimes. I was up at Lexington.
Yeah.
59th. Yeah, it would take a little while.
Yeah.
But. Totally not comic related work.
No, not at all. So. Well, hey guys, you know, we've been at this for a little over a half hour, and you know, I know you guys are busy and everything. So I just wanted to say thanks for sitting down with us. When the next volume of Super Corbett comes out, definitely we want to have you guys back on to talk about that.
Great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And then, did you have any final questions?
No, thanks for talking to us. You know, we enjoyed it.
Oh, no, anytime. Anytime you want.
Thanks for having us on.
Perfect. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. Okay, so that was the team from Seven Robots. Miguel, Susie, thank you guys so much for joining Johnny and I, and you know, for taking the time to reach out from across the Atlantic and sit down and talk about comics. We really, really did enjoy it. Infamous Podcast listeners, you can find Seven Robots online at sevenrobots.com. There are Seven Robots on Twitter, and you know, you can get all of their contact information at sevenrobots.com. Make sure you follow them. Make sure you let them know, you know, how great it is that what they're doing with Earth Dream and everything like that. As always, we're the Infamous Podcast. We are infamouspodcast.com on all social networks that, you know, we use mainly Facebook and Twitter right now. It's Infamous Podcast. If you have questions for us or you want to reach out or share something about the show, it's theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. We definitely want to hear from you guys and let us know if there's people out there that you want us to interview, and we will definitely try and make that happen. And lastly, you know, for things like this, 5-star reviews are super helpful in the iTunes store, because that way we can be found and we can, you know, continue to grow listeners and, you know, hopefully be able to do some cooler stuff for you guys. Anyway, this is Brian. I'm going to sign off for right now. Thanks for listening, and we will see you all on Friday.